podcast called Living the Stream comes to you each week. Streaming recommendations during NFL season, it's not just tongue-in-cheek. Quarterback, defense, tight end recommendations based on opposition matchup. Here are your podcast hosts, J.J. Zacharyson and Danny Carter, Living the Stream.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Living the Stream. I'm J.J. Zacharyson, the late-round quarterback. And as always, I'm joined by my lovely, lovely, lovely co-host, Denny Carter. Denny, what's going on, buddy?
Not much. I'll take three lovelies. I'm ready to go from here on out. It's every week LTS. I've been lifting weights and doing cocaine in anticipation of this for months. So
I came to when we first opened Skype, because that's how we record. When I first opened Skype and I saw Denny's face, I realized, oh my God, I'm going to see this man once a week until the end of December. This is what's going on. This is happening.
Yeah, my dad said the same thing the other day about me, so I think you guys are in the same boat.
Oh, man. But today's show, just so people are aware, it's another mailbag episode. We're going to go through some Twitter questions, talk about some random stuff, fantasy, non-fantasy related stuff. And then next week we'll get into more strategy and more stuff that you probably care more about. But we will still answer questions as well on that show. But Denny, how's everything been? We haven't talked in like a month.
Yes. Well, let's see. It's incredibly hot. I am just absolutely miserable all the time on my daily run when I'm doing random yard work like a dad. It's just so hot. I can barely deal with it. I don't know how you do it in the South. I'm sure it's hotter there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hotter, but you just kind of get used to it. We were, because I was in Boston and Maine over the weekend. It was like a 5-day trip. Wasn't in Boston super long, so all you fantasy analysts and listeners who are in Boston and you get angry at me online because I didn't tell you that I was in Boston, I wasn't in Boston very long. I'm sorry. I did hang out with Jim Saunas one night because I have to hang out with Jim since he's a number fire guy. And
so you have time for Jim.
Yeah, I mean, look, Jim has a special place in my heart. So I had to go meet up with Jim and have some dinner with him. But I was up there, and one of the days it was like 60 degrees when I was up there. And I was freezing. Wow. Like my wife had to buy an Eskimo jacket, or she had to get so many clothes because it was so cold out.
Like a Patriots sweater is what she bought, probably.
Yeah, probably not. Did you see my tweet with the Tom Brady the wind what do they call those,
the windmill?
Yeah, what do they call those though? Like, it's not a wind chime because it's not making noise, and it's not like windmills to me are bigger, right? It's just
it was a Tom Brady wooden thing with legs that spun with the wind, right? Yeah, like windmill legs, right? And I stupidly quote tweeted you and I said, hashtag metrics. I should have said, this is film-based analysis.
Yeah, you really should have.
With that tweet.
You really should have. when I first recorded that video, I was on like the end of an island in Maine and I didn't have any cell phone service. So I tried to tweet it like three times, and every time I changed the wording of the tweet because I thought of something better and more clever. So basically the tweet that I sent was like the sixth iteration, aka the best version of that tweet that I could have possibly come up with. So I had the entire drive back to our place that we were staying. It was like 25 minutes. All I was thinking about was how I was going to phrase that tweet. So go take a look at that tweet and rate it for me from 0 to 10. I need to know how good that tweet was.
Well, you not only you need to know, but your social media focus group needs to know. And I know you took that focus group with you on vacation. You had to tow along, you know, 7 people to give you advice.
That's right.
On, you know, what would maximize clicks and likes and retweets. I understand.
Yeah, we had a Dodge Caravan that we rented from Enterprise that we drove from Boston to Maine just so that I could fit the focus group in the car with me. I needed them with me. That's correct.
Right. The Dodge van, the vehicle for social media focus.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I actually did have a Ford Focus, though.
That's what I drive on the regular.
Is it? So. Is it really?
It is.
I don't know if we've talked about that before.
I drive a very ratty 2012 Ford Focus with a slippery transmission.
I feel so. I was driving it and I got in, and the brakes were really sensitive when I first was driving it because I've been driving my wife's SUV a lot. So I like you have to hit it a little bit harder for the car to stop just because it's a bigger car. And I get into this thing, and I'm like driving out, and I'm like slamming. I basically fit in Boston really well because that's how people in Boston drive. They just slam on their brakes all the time. But it drove pretty well. I thought it's a decent car. It works.
Yeah, I feel like Will Ferrell on that SNL sketch from way back when he was like, I drive a Dodge Stratus, 1997 Dodge Stratus. Yeah. That's what I feel like right now. I drive a 2012 Ford Focus.
Hey,
damn it.
I've got a 2010 Honda Civic, so we are just driving the most mundane vehicles on the planet.
Yeah, no, they totally. These are the cars. These are the official cars of giving up on your dreams, I think.
Yes, that's exactly what I mean. Look, I got mine when I'm going to show my age when I graduated college, right? And I've had it since then, and I've always said that, especially now that I work from home, because I don't drive my car like at all. Like I don't need to. I put like 5,000 miles on the car each year. And dude, it's crazy. I'm going to I've always joked. I was like, my kids are going to learn how to drive on this car while everyone else has flying vehicles. My kids are going to have a 2010 Honda Civic, but it could be true. It could really, really be true because I'm not putting any mileage on this. And we know that Hondas last forever.
They do. Only you and the grandma who only uses her car to go from home to the grocery store once a week puts 5,000 miles on their car. I mean, that is incredible.
It's an incredible, mostly because we'll take my wife's car if we're like going out or whatever, which I found out, like we went for our anniversary dinner less than a month ago. And I tweeted a picture of us, my wife and I, while we were in the car, cause we forgot to take a picture. And I tweeted the picture out and I was like, happy anniversary to my great loving wife. And like, the interior of my car was there, and people could recognize what kind of car I had.
It is amazing how people can instantly, analyze any photo that you put on Twitter or Facebook. I posted a picture. I played golf a couple weeks ago with my dad, and I think it was Chad Scott, our friend Chad Scott, who zoomed in like to like this very granular point in the photo where you could just barely make out three human beings that were exiting the green as I was set up over my ball ready to hit.
Yeah.
It hit an approach shot. And he's like, you know, this is bad form or bad etiquette or whatever. But I was like, I didn't even see those people when I was on the tee.
Yeah. Dude, I went when Matt Harmon was in Charlotte and he spent the night at my house. By the way, no, I'm just kidding. Matt Harmon was a great guest.
But you said he's a psychopath.
No, I did. Well, that's because he ate a bagel. He ate a wheat bagel with nothing on it. It was just we went to Starbucks the following morning. I got like a tea, and he gets a plain whole wheat bagel with nothing on it, toasted. Like who does that?
No, Matt's my man. I would get the exact same thing.
Right, and that's when I realized that I let an axe murderer into my house for the night. But we were at this really, really local place in the town that I live in. This it's a little house, and it sells craft beer and stuff. It's cool. It's a cool spot. And I tweeted the picture of Harmon, just Harmon, and there's some background and stuff. Someone responded with the exact location that we were at, like. Not only did someone have to be following Matt or me, but on top of that, they had to know that exact location in the suburbs of Charlotte. Like, it was the most ridiculous thing that I'd seen on Twitter.
That is, I mean, it's really incredible. It's like the hive mind, like, swirling around every image you put on Twitter and telling you exactly what it is. One more, if we're going to keep sharing stories.
No, this is great. This is great. This is great. This is why people listen to this podcast.
This is why people listen. This show stinks. I went to my cousin's 40th birthday party two weekends ago. I take a photo of me with a stormtrooper there. Okay, I don't know if you saw it.
I think I did.
It's just me and a stormtrooper. That's all. I didn't think much of it. And someone, well, there were lots of responses, but someone responds, Are you at a gathering of homeschool students? Jeez, what,
dude?
I didn't even know what to say, but it, man, that got me. That got me good. I showed that to like everybody. I mean, no one got it. No one understood right. why I thought it was funny.
That's why you can't post stuff on social media, like on Twitter. I wish I could. Look, guys, I would share so many photos with you all if there weren't people that were going to make fun of us. Just
crush.
Yeah,
us.
Just destroy us. No remorse. All right, Denny.
Yeah.
Let's get to the questions, but wow, I really screwed that one up. Let's get to the questions, but before we do that, we do have a sponsor for today's show. Why don't you talk about them?
We do. We have lots of sponsorship going on. Thankfully, we're very grateful for that. We're going to start out with Apex Fantasy Leagues, which is obviously a favorite of ours. We play in the Apex Fantasy Writers League every year with a lot of people in the industry, including Rich Rebar, I think Sigmund Bloom, Mike Clay, some others are in that league. I look forward.
It's one of the best ones. It's one of the best ones.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about what happened to me last year when I choked away the one seed, but back to Apex Fantasy Leagues, the best place to play season-long fantasy football for cash money. With a skill-based format and industry-leading payouts, Apex ensures that the best fantasy players win big. The site also offers dynasty leagues for those who are interested. Apex has hosts 12-team PPR leagues that provide a variety of drafting options. You can do live drafts or email drafts, snake drafts or auction. Snake drafts are sometimes called serpentine drafts. Did you know that?
They are, yes.
That's a new one to me. And you also have the flexibility to sign up for a league just hours before the draft, so it's not something you have to plan way ahead on. On top of that, Apex will sometimes put extra money in the prize pool to make sure that leagues are filled. Apex also offers the format where if you exceed the average score of your league in a given week, you get another win. So this helps to reward the best teams as far as total points go. I can't recommend it highly enough. Check out apexfantasyleagues.com.
All right, Denny, first question is from at Impress Suave. What is a fidget spinner and why is it a haircut? this was actually from June 12th, and it was still in our favorites because, as you guys know who ask questions, we favorite the tweets that we're going to talk about on the show. And I just realized, like, I didn't read this question earlier today. This was just there from before, and I just read it out loud, but it's a really good question. There's another fidget spinner question, and let's just get your take on fidget spinners right now to get out of the way. And then when the question comes back, maybe we'll answer it, maybe not. But what is your take on fidget spinners?
I saw that there was at least one fidget spinner question. So I asked my son, my 4.5-year-old son, who has one. I said, Xavier, why do you like your fidget spinner? And he said, because it does this. And he spun it. And I said, but is there anything else? Do you think it's cool? He was like, no, it just spins. I was like, I'm like digging. I'm like, come on, Xavier, just give me something. Give me something to work with here. The only thing he could come up with was that it spun. I think it may be like a POG thing where people are collecting them. Kids are collecting them just because they want to collect them. Jay's just showing me his own fidget spinner.
Hope you guys can hear that right now through the through the mic. Yes, I have one, Denny.
You have one. All right. Well, that now that changes the whole dynamic. Tell me your take on these things.
I mean, look, they're great. They're great. They distract you. They also help you keep focused. Even they do. Really? They do both things. Yeah. I mean, it's a good thing. I like to play with things while I do other stuff, but I like to have balls in my hands. No, that doesn't work either. I have like a slinky on my desk too. I play with my slinky a little bit. The fidget spinner is just one of those things that you can just have and hold. It makes you think smarter.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I can't imagine trying to work with that one. I I would say, though, that we should edit out the part about you playing with your slinky. That's my suggestion.
Yeah, just a slinky part. Anyway, the next one is at the Pugfather 22. I lived the stream and made 100 moves in a league. In response, my league mate, my league made a rule penalizing owners $1 in real money for each transaction. Is this the worst rule ever?
It's pretty close to the worst rule.
I get annoyed by that stuff, too. It's like people are upset that, like all that does is incentivize people to not be active in their league.
Right.
Right? And like,
is that what you want?
Right. The whole point is to get people involved and make them active. And it's like, oh, I have to pay $1 for this guy? No, I'm not going to. Like, no. Don't. No. I hate the money for transaction stuff. I can't stand that. Can't stand.
Yeah. Yeah. I was once in a fantasy basketball league, believe it or not, where a guy was making like 15 transactions a day, and it was unbelievably irritating, and people were like, you have to like stop him from making moves. And I was like, guys, I can't, like, you just, we have to ride it out. If you want to make moves, you can make moves.
Right.
So that's what I would tell that the commissioner, like, if you hate it so much, then you can just start also being active. I don't know.
Right. Right. The next one is at I Dighton Do It, Rob Dighton. Do your rankings change drastically if your league has bonus points for monster games, 400 plus passing, 200 plus rush from receiving, etc.?
No.
Point changes that are minimal will not change the way that I draft much at all. If they're drastic, sure, but those aren't drastic.
Well, because then if you did change for the monster bonuses, 200 yards receiving.
Right. Yeah, right. Then
so you have to project that. You have to say AJ Green will clearly have 3 200 yard games.
Right. Like there's, it's not gonna happen very often. Also, I'm pretty sure his last name is Ditton, because I didn't do it makes a lot more sense than Dighton, but I'm gonna keep going with Dighton. It fits my brand better, right?
I think it's perfect. Dighton. I'm going with it too.
Yeah. Next one is from at Nikolai Pitra, the winner of the LTS League, which we got to figure out, man. We got to get a league going again, but we're definitely, like I said before, we're not podcasting.
I confirmed, no, we're not doing that. I confirmed with Tom Everett Scott over dinner that, yes, he's in the league.
Yeah, by the way, we didn't even talk about you having dinner with the TES. How'd that go?
I did, and it was great. Very romantic. Cuddled. No, we went to a restaurant. So I chose, Tom has been to the Maryland area very few times. I think he said twice.
Mm-hmm.
I actually chose a restaurant that he had already been to.
Wow.
Which is incredible. His friend and colleague, Michael Kelly, who plays on House of Cards as, I forget the character's name, but as Kevin Spacey's right hand man, chief of staff.
Yeah.
They were filming a movie together in Maryland. That's why Tom was here. And so Michael Kelly's favorite restaurant is the one we went to, and the name is escaping me. I've been trying to come up with the name this whole time and I can't. But it was excellent. And Tom was, of course, great company. I was a little embarrassed because I was on my phone with my head down when Tom came in. So he was just like standing there, and he was like, "Hey, man!" I was like, "Who is this? Who's talking to you? Oh, God, that's Tom."
That's awesome. I'm very, very jealous of that. But Nico hit us up with a question. He says, "How's the golf game coming this year?"
Oh, have you played?
Yeah, not as much as the last few summers. I played probably like 3 or 4 times this summer.
Wow, really? Okay. That's nice.
I shot, last time I played, it's a tougher course where I'd usually shoot high 90s. I shot like a 93, I think. So it was okay. It was decent.
I mean, if you're only playing a handful of times a year, that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, just competency. And actually, so my wife, we rearranged our garage, and I put my golf clubs there. They were often just in my trunk. Like, I just drove around with them because why not? I only drive 5,000 miles a year anyway.
Yeah.
And I put my golf clubs in the garage, like on the side. And my wife came home from work the next day after we had rearranged, and the golf clubs had fallen over, and she ran over all my woods, and they all snapped. all. No. Yeah. Well, here's the thing. I don't really like buy new clubs and stuff anymore. It's just like, you know, like I'm fine. I'm competent. I can play. I'm not going to like care if I shave 5 strokes off my game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like she got one of them replaced, and then she goes to, cause the one was like a really old club that I like, that it's my go-to if I'm not hitting my driver well. It's like a 5-wood from when I was like 12, but she got that reshafted, and then she tried to get my driver done, and they're like, I hate to break it to you, but you could buy this used for $15.
Well,
I was going to play like 2 weekends ago with a buddy. So that night I went to Golf Galaxy, bought a used driver for like $70, didn't even swing it, just felt it, felt pretty good, walked out with it, and I crushed with it. I crushed it. Nice. But that's what, like, to me, like, I'm not going to overanalyze my game. I'm not going to like find the perfect clubs, because it's opportunity cost, right? It's just going to waste my time and waste my energy. I'd rather just go out, drink a couple beers, and have some fun.
Exactly. No, I think you have to go all in or kind of stay out as far as the investment in your game goes.
Right. What did you shoot when you were out with your pops?
So we were just kind of goofing around on the front nine. I shot 45 on the back nine. Nice. But it was a very easy nine. It basically, you could hit it anywhere off the tee and there were no consequences. I was hitting it I was hitting approach shots from the wrong fairways. The main thing is I have no feel around the green. I guess that's what you lose when you don't play very often. I do have a funny story. I was behind a tree, 150 yard approach shot. I was behind a tree. I had to go over the tree and over water to get to the green. Well, I get up there with an 8-iron and I hit it flush, like perfect. Mm-hmm. And the ball goes over the tree and I run out of the wooded area like Sergio Garcia at the PGA Championship like 20 years ago. And I'm like running across the fairway, like trying to track the ball. And I'm thinking that it's like dead on the pin.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing just goes shoop, right in the water, like 2 inches from the green. So that was maybe the most deflating thing of the day.
Yeah. It's always rough. Always rough. Next one is from @SwaggyDadRunner. Thoughts on mid-round receivers such as Stephon Diggs, Jamison Crowder, Willie Snead, Pittsburgh's number one wide receiver, etc. I worry I'm viewing them as safer than I should.
Yeah, I mean, they're not as safe, probably. I mean, as if you think of them as super safe, then you're probably wrong on that. But I mean, Diggs was on pace, and I don't love to use the term on pace.
Sure.
And extrapolation is the road to hell. it's the name of my new book. And but Stephon Diggs was, you know, pretty much on his way to a top 15 season last year, and he's being drafted as wide receiver 32 or 33 right now. So
yeah, I mean, I like Diggs, I like Crowder, I like Snead, I like Martavis, I like all of them. It's just, you know, the elite wide receivers are the go-to guys. I'm not even talking about Antonio Brown necessarily. I'm talking maybe if you take a step down and go to the T.Y. Hilton tier or something like that. Like, you know they're going to be fine. You know that they're going to produce. But with guys like Diggs and Crowder and Snead, you can at least tell yourself a story as to why they wouldn't produce. You know, Diggs is in an offense that's not super consistent or all that good. Crowder is a slot guy who might not have as much touchdown upside, and he has some regression coming. And who knows if Josh Doctson becomes something. Willie Snead, again, he's not a touchdown scorer. Martavis Bryant has a lot of volatility. So, you know, I think that they're decent guys. I think that it is a deeper, you should feel better about those players in those fourth, fifth, sixth rounds than probably mm-hmm. you did last year. But even still, you know, there's a reason that they're being drafted there.
I would say that if you can get one of these guys as your wide receiver 3 or even 4, then you're in business. That's what I like them.
I'm basically to the point with draft strategy where I want to get either like Le'Veon or David Johnson. And if I get one of them, like if I'm in the top 2 picks wise, I'm totally cool with just loading up at wide out, and especially in PPR formats with a flex, and just having insane, you can still have great wide receivers doing that, and then you have that baseline at running back.
Yeah, no, I do. I like that. Would you say that Ezekiel Elliott at this moment is undraftable at his ADP?
at his ADP, I probably wouldn't draft him there. I mean, I'm hearing there's so many conflicting reports as to how long he could be suspended. You know, if I'm drafting tomorrow, if I'm trying to pick him and I'm seeing, like, I don't see the reason to take him over the big three wide receivers, for instance, or of course Le'Veon and David Johnson. But you can make a case for him to be the sixth overall pick, I think, still. Right now, just weighing the fact that maybe it's only a 1 or 2 game suspension, but obviously there's talk out there that it could be a 6+ game suspension, which would be not great.
Yeah, I mean, then I don't know. I see, just because of that possibility of a 4 to 6 game suspension, just because that looms, I cannot go in on him even in the first round. He'll never drop to the second right now.
Yeah.
But I would avoid him pretty much at all costs at his current ADP. And also, Darren McFadden is, at least the drafts that I've done, the best ball drafts, is still going in like the 13th, 14th round.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming that it's going to rise a bit whenever, you know, now that this news has come out. But I think one approach you can take with Zeke is, you know, if you do draft him early, there are some players who are going to have early season opportunity, like Jaquizz Rodgers, Terrence West, mm-hmm. and obviously mm-hmm. Darren McFadden. But, you know, I think that what you do is you don't just put all your eggs in the Darren McFadden basket and you get the DMC, Terrence West, Jaquizz Rodgers types, and then you can play them by matchup. Because, I don't view Darren McFadden and what's going on. Like, if he were to assume this role, first off, I think if Zeke is out for an extended period of time, I'm talking 6+ games, I think they go out and they sign a younger guy, another running back. They have a terrible mm-hmm. running back depth chart behind Ezekiel Elliott. But if it's a shorter suspension, Darren McFadden gets maybe 3 games, 4 games of being a starter. I don't see it exactly as D'Angelo Williams. I think D'Angelo Williams had a better situation than what DMC had. And D-Will was an 8th, 9th rounder when Le'Veon Bell was out. I think that the offense he was in was better. Just the situation entirely was better. And he's a better running back than Darren McFadden was. Mm-hmm. So I think that we do have a sample to look at and see where the ADP was. I wouldn't go and reach for Darren McFadden. I'd kind of try to get Darren McFadden and then try to fit those pieces like the Jaquizz Rodgers and Terrence West into my lineup while Zeke was sidelined.
Yeah, I like that.
This next one is Bathroom Ben. He says, old girlfriend is in my league of record. New girlfriend once in. What do I do?
That is rough, man. I actually, there was a person who responded to that tweet who just responded with the gif of Cersei Lannister's son walking off a ledge out of a window to committing suicide.
And now I'm looking at it. Yes.
And the king, I guess you would call him. And that sums up my thoughts. That's very difficult.
Yeah. That's a tough situation to be in, for sure.
I don't know if I have suggestions there. I guess it depends on Bathroom Ben's relationship with former Mrs. Bathroom, and the current Miss Bathroom. So, if it's okay, I guess you just go ahead and let that happen, or you don't fight it. But if there's contentious, if there's some bad feelings, you might want to back away.
He's also asking two men who are married to women that we started dating when we were in our teens, because I was 19 when Amanda and I started dating.
Right. I was 17.
Yeah. So we've never even remotely right. been placed in the situation.
I haven't looked another woman in the eye since the second Clinton administration. It's oh, man. I'm like Mike Pence.
on that note, this next question is from @SadMelander. He says, how do you continue the grind when football and especially fantasy football doesn't actually matter?
Wow. Okay.
I mean, there's one answer to this. It's that, well, nothing matters.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you want to boil it down to the very essence sure. of the Arby's beef and cheddar, then you have to say that nothing matters. But yeah, I think that it probably strikes all of us at some point that whatever we do for a living might not matter, but you keep going. What else can you do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of jobs that don't matter. I'm not smart enough to cure cancer. I'm not smart enough to do a lot of things that would be actually beneficial to the world, but I think that we do an okay job of letting people escape for a little bit. And that's that's necessary, right? That's a very necessary thing. That's
it is.
That's the way that I've handled this existential crisis, because I've had it many times before. I mean, it's a real thing. I mean, what I'm doing is somewhat worthless, but at the same time, it's not, because it's a real, real industry.
But we're, you know, beyond fantasy football analysis, I think that any job that someone has, if you think about it hard enough, you may come to the conclusion that it is utterly meaningless.
that's
a very difficult reality to deal with. I speak to that in 96 Ways to Rise and Grind, my book. You can buy it on Amazon. Okay, let's go. Next question.
Well, now that you said that, Denny, why don't you talk about our second sponsor of today's podcast? Because we do have two.
That's even better. Yes, if you love fantasy football, and I know you do because you're listening to this hardcore fantasy football podcast, you need to try new best ball leagues on my favorite new app, as some would say, called Draft. Here's how it works. You sign in for a 12-team long draft with an 8-hour clock, or a 10-team league with a kind of a rapid-fire 27-second clock, which is good practice for those who may, you know, go on full tilt when they have 30 seconds to pick in their August draft. I've done an absurd number of these 10-team drafts, these quick drafts, this week. They're very fun. They last like 20 minutes tops, and it's fun to play around with strategies. So this best ball, just for those who are not familiar, it's season long, but with no management. You just set it and forget it. Once you're done drafting, that's it. No waiver wire, no trades. You don't even have to set your lineup. Your best players get automatically selected, and you'll get the best score every week. You don't even have to worry about injuries. Well, maybe a little. You can draft your team any way you want. So it's easy to start playing the drafts today. Just go to playdraft.com /stream. That's playdraft.com/stream, and you can join a game in minutes.
Boom. All right, next one is at AFauche70. Any good tier-based drafting sheets that you guys know of? NumberFire has one based on our projections that our chief analyst Keith Goldner creates, so you can check that out. And I know also, you know, I did a podcast on the Late Round Podcast on predictability, and I talked about how I tier positions, and Rich Rebar tiers a very similar way. He's tweeted out his tiers, actually. So if you go to his media, just click through the images that he's tweeted, you'll find a pretty good, I mean, it's Rich. You'll find good tiers to draft from, because he buckets them, as I do too, and how they will generate points, not just how many points they're going to score.
Yeah, I love the tier-based approach, and Rich probably does it as well or better than anyone. When you're done with checking out the NumberFire tiers and Rich's draft tiers, you can then come to my Twitter timeline and drink my liberal tears, and then you just, that's a good top off of the whole process.
Oh my god. Next one, at WEWing12FIA. Give me three hot takes I can scream out while drafting and give the illusion of being totally prepared without having done any actual work.
Okay. Well, you know what? I just focused on the first part of that question and didn't so much do the preparation part. But here are some things that you can scream out. Three things you can scream
out.
Wait,
so are these three things that are just completely fantasy football and different? Like they're not even fantasy football related?
No, they are.
Okay.
They are, except for two of them are. One of them is not. But it might serve to distract your horrible league mates who you hate so much.
Okay, go ahead.
So here's number one. You just scream out, Derek Carr is not the best QB on the Raiders roster. Just scream it. And if someone challenges you, you don't even acknowledge it. You just get it out there. Next one is, Tom Brady is a system quarterback.
That's a good one. That's a really good one. I like that one.
Okay, and if there's a Patriots fan there, then you'll probably end up fighting. But it was worth it, because that's a good take.
Yeah.
And then the last one is, and this is, you know, this is not disputable, no matter what Matt Harmon says. You scream out, Bowser is the worst character on Mario Kart, bar none.
Yes, that's a great take. That's great. I have none. I didn't prepare any of them because I knew that you were going to take this, and took it. Those were good takes.
I think any of those can rattle the hell out of your league mates.
Yeah, that's very good. This next one is at @Adrian_Charlie. Can you name a player or two you value more in best ball draft versus redrafts? Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot. You obviously, you want to go from, again, the predictability standpoint and look for guys who aren't necessarily as predictable. From a best ball standpoint, you want to draft them who will have spiked weeks. Perfect example is Dez Bryant, right? Dez Bryant is the perfect best ball player, and he's not the perfect redraft guy because you're going to have to pseudo guess when those big games are coming. You know, on the opposite end, I think a guy that I would value more in redraft is Demaryius Thomas. He's going to give you a higher floor each week. And then from a running back standpoint, if you're in a PPR league, and you know, if you're playing best ball, you might be on MFL 10 and their PPR. I think that the way you have to think about running backs is just touchdown upside and not touchdown upside, and then guys who catch passes and don't catch passes. So, you know, a guy like Isaiah Crowell maybe might be a little bit better in a best ball draft, for instance, just because he's not catching many passes. But I think the best example is like an Adrian Peterson in a best ball draft, where he has insane ceiling. I mean, I don't mind him even that much for redraft at this point because his ADP isn't that bad in some drafts that I do. But you're looking for those touchdown upside. But it all, and Frank Gore on the opposite end. Frank Gore is not going to give you those spiked weeks, but he's going to be very, very predictable and give you a floor, which is what you will probably want a little bit more in redraft as long as you match him with a higher upside guy.
You know, before I get off course here, I wanted to mention Chris Hogan as a guy who I like better in best ball. Well, I don't like him at all in redraft, but
yeah,
I like Chris Hogan better. I like Chris Hogan in best ball. Deshaun Jackson
Ted Ginn
obviously jumps out.
Yeah.
Ted Ginn, your guy.
Yeah.
Gosh darn it, I had it on the tip of my tongue, but I wanted to say, what did you mention just before?
I was talking about Frank Gore.
You're Frank Gore. So I believe that JJ's Scott Fishbowl team is the all-star 2009
it's
running
amazing
back squad of Frank Gore, Marshawn Lynch, and Adrian freaking Peterson.
It's amazing. So my SFB team, I've openly said I'm not drafting Marshawn. I've been kind of against Adrian Peterson, but his ADP has kind of, especially if you're doing drafts with sharks, Adrian Peterson's ADP is fairly low. If you're doing it with more casual people, you know, he'll go in like the third, fourth round, whatever. But the way that I approached SFB is I wanted to just crush running backs, right? The scoring definitely favors running backs. And my logic with it is if one of AP or Marshawn end up being something, we know they have a ceiling, right? They're both in really, really good offenses. If one of those two end up being something, I'm in really, really good shape. Frank Gore, I'm not worried. Frank Gore is going to have a fine season. He's not going to give you crazy weeks, but he'll be fine, right? Like
he's always fine.
He's fine, but and he's better in that format where it's standard and you're getting a point for every first down. So I'm pretty into the three amigos that I have there who are all wearing adult diapers.
I like the approach. It just is kind of amazing that those three guys are still in the league. Really.
I know.
Like,
no, it is.
Yes.
And really, the main reason I drafted all of them is because they kind of felt like Frank Gore is just always a value in drafts right now. It's just how it is. So I draft him a good bit. But like AP and Marshawn, they just kind of, I had no intention of getting Marshawn Lynch. None at all. But
yeah, everybody has the right price. You know, but did you hear though that Frank Gore's replacement was drafted for the 11th time in his career?
What's that?
No, what I'm saying is every year his.
Oh yeah, yeah. So, okay, I got you.
I mean, it never fails. I mean, Kendall Hunter truthers are in their graves remembering last.
It's amazing that it was all the way back to Kendall Hunter, which seems like I was 12 years old when that was going on.
It was a long time ago.
Like it's insane to think about this, right? Like crazy. Absolutely crazy. Anyway, next one is at Pompey Nick. If you're doing a 12-team auction startup, what tips or suggestions do you have for the league? Do you go with a 2 quarterback and super flex?
My suggestion would be to know your audience, because if you put in a super flex format or even 2 QB, I mean, you're asking a lot of people who may be casual players, you're probably going to the league, if there are a bunch of casual players in among those 12 people, then you're going to probably create a league where only a handful of people can compete. So I would want to probably keep it simple unless everybody is like a really, really hardcore fantasy footballer.
Yeah, I agree with that. This next one is at I Need FF Help. Who are some high upside wide receivers in the middle rounds? I want to balance, but I'm finding more floor options like Diggs, Snead, Macklin, etc.
I don't see Diggs as a floor option, first of all.
Yeah, I don't really see him as a floor option either. I mean, you could look at like from a ceiling option. I still think Moncrief has a decent ceiling in that offense. I think you can look at Devontae Parker maybe. I mean, he has a ceiling, but I don't like him enough. You know, like I don't like that offense really in general, because I'm still very much a believer that they're going to be more of a run first offense.
I basically just start screaming every time I see Devontae Parker taken in the seventh or eighth round.
Yeah.
Like, I just start screaming at anything that's near me.
Yeah. Actually, you know who probably my favorite upside guy would be is Randall Cobb. I never talk about him. I never write about him. I never tweet about him. But I draft Randall Cobb. You can ask Rich. I've been doing a lot of like random like dynasty mocks and stuff. And Reeves is always in there. And obviously we talk to Reeves all the time. Ask Rich who the guy I draft most is. He's going to say Randall Cobb. I just always end up with Randall Cobb, because I guess I just see him. Like, you're associating him with the best quarterback in the game. Don't at me. He's the best quarterback in the game. You're going to have an efficient offense. He's still fairly, I mean, he's at a decent age still. And then on top of that, if something were to happen, maybe to Devontae Adams and not Jordy, or something happens to a wide receiver or pass catcher, he could see a higher market share, and he's always going to have touchdown upside. I mean, I know that it's been a rough year and a half for Randall Cobb, but I still think that just given his price, he's in the wide receiver 40s. I mean, he's a wide receiver 4 right now. I don't see why not.
He's going in redraft. He's going in the middle of the eighth round after Eric Decker, who I would not draft anywhere close to Cobb, and after Devontae Parker, which makes me want to scream again.
The Parker thing, I think a lot with Devontae Parker is the flashiness. Like, he's a really athletic guy. He looks good on film. That kind of, like, he looks like he could do a lot. I just am looking at it from a top down approach. I know that I just mentioned initially that he could, like, I still think he does have upside. If you're looking for pure upside, because he could be something really interesting as a talent, but the problem is I'm not this believer that they're going to be this like semi pass first offense. After Jay Ajayi broke out last year and that offensive line got healthy, they were the third most run heavy team in all of football, ahead of only Dallas and Buffalo, who we all know. We basically avoid wide receivers on those teams. It's just that they have top-notch ones with Sammy Watkins and Dez Bryant. Sammy Watkins, by the way, very, very underrated right now.
Yes.
I love Sammy Watkins. But,
me too.
But, you know, I just see it as a similar situation. Then on top of that, they have Jarvis Landry, who's going to demand a hefty market share in that offense.
Isn't it funny how, like eventually you realize you're becoming, I mean, not a truther in, like, the blind sense of the term, but, like, you're saying, you know, you don't talk about him, you don't write about him, but you have Cobb everywhere.
I do.
And that's how I feel about some players. That's how I feel about Thomas Rawls. Every draft I do, I end up with freaking Thomas Rawls. I don't even like Thomas Rawls, but he's there so late, and I'm, you know, like, why not?
Yeah. It happens to me all the time. This next one is at Handy Andy Capper. Please have a solid back and forth regarding season long versus DFS. Which have you come to like more, etc.?
he doesn't want a back and forth. He wants a solid back and forth.
No, I'm very much a season long guy still. I mean, I'm an employee of FanDuel now, so I don't get as much satisfaction playing DFS as I used to. But even still, I've always been a season long guy, because I think that it does what we want, what we initially wanted fantasy football to do, and that's kind of bring a lot of friends and family and people together and have a good time with it. And that's, I mean, as corny as that sounds, that's kind of the reason that I got into it in the first place. Not only that, but I get to dig deep into football, and that's fun to do. And I like the ownership aspect of it. I know that I know that people like DFS because they don't have to worry about the same players week in and week out. But I kind of like that. I kind of like rooting for the same guy all season long. because it's just a more entertaining thing for me.
Well, because it's your team. I mean, right. that's what the whole experience is you have this team, you created it, you managed it, you made moves to eliminate some guys and add others. I say eliminate like you're killing people, but you know, right. just to mold the roster. There's a lot of investment in a season long. Whereas you know you flake out with some lineups in a DFS format, and you're just like, well, whatever. I play DFS tournaments almost exclusively. I think you all know that I'm not like grinding it out like head to head matchups, right. Hundreds of them, thousands of them. I don't like, you know, I'm not one of these guys using a script, but I do play DFS. I don't enjoy it quite as much as seasonal.
Yeah, I'm definitely in agreement. DFS is a lot of fun. I love DFS. I think that it's a great thing. And I'm not even just saying that because, again, I'm employed by FanDuel. I'm saying it because I think it's a beautiful, awesome thing. It's just that season long is where, I mean, you would expect this answer from both of us. It's where we got started. It's how we got started. It's because we loved season long fantasy football.
Yeah, I don't even know if that makes us like dinosaurs. I don't think it does.
Look at the market share of people who play season long versus DFS. People are playing season long because it's a fun game.
Do you know that off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head, but it's okay, I mean there's still a pretty large gap. I mean, you obviously want people who are playing season long, me as an employee, to play DFS, but you know, there are ways to do that and get people introduced. And I think that people who love season long will love DFS. Like, I truly, truly think that. It's just that I tend to I love both DFS and season long. I'm just saying I prefer season long a little bit more.
Just anecdotally, when I'm at a party or something, and I ask people if they play on one of the major DFS sites, because I know that they are into fantasy, the vast majority of the time, it's no, I know, I see the commercials, like I see the ads, but I don't play that. It's only seasonal for me. Infrequently, I'll come across someone who says, "Oh yeah, love FanDuel, love DraftKings." So
yeah,
that's just my anecdotal.
Yeah, I mean, that's why there's really cool modes now on FanDuel, like Friends mode, where you can get some of the same league aspects that you would get with your season long league, and you're playing against your friends, and that's where. But at the same time, you know, it's not quite there yet. We're working, you know, FanDuel's working on it. DraftKings, I'm sure, is too. But yeah, season long, I like more than DFS. It's just our bread and butter. Mm-hmm. Next one is at BKnight97. Your take on Miracle Whip?
What is Miracle Whip?
it's like mayo.
Oh, it's like mayo. Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, disgusting, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't really. I try to stay away from that kind of stuff in general.
Yeah, I don't. I think I'm. It's a fear factor for me.
Yeah. Next one, at JoelD260, what's the best sport excluding football?
Well, I know your answer.
I'm going to say hockey.
Yeah. I'm
going to say hockey. I love hockey. I love baseball too. I love both hockey and baseball.
But your love for hockey is like genuine.
It is. It's become like, I'm telling you though, the reason for that is because I think I've talked about it many times, but I analyze football for a living. I've become less of a Steeler fan as a result. Still a big fan, but more of an objective fan. With hockey, I just let loose. Like, I'm a fan, and I enjoy it, and it doesn't hurt that the Penguins win all the time.
My working theory about your love of hockey is that your team wins all the time.
It's very, so. I mean, hockey's been, but even still, like, back in the early 2000s, people don't know this, but the Penguins were like in a leave town. They were the worst team in the league. They were awful. And I was still, I mean, like, they had Zygmunt Palfy, I remember, just that was like their dude. He was this veteran guy. And then they just get lucky and they get Sidney Crosby and everything changes. Mario Lemieux bails them out. Like, it's just so many fortunate. So anyone that's listening to this that either loves hockey or is from Pittsburgh, there's a documentary that's like 3 hours long that's on YouTube that you can watch. But the amount of luck that the Pittsburgh Penguins have had is something that I've never seen in sports before. Like they fall into Mario Lemieux, they fall into Jaromir Jagr, they fall into Sidney Crosby, they fall into Evgeny Malkin, and that just creates like 3-4 decades of just winning, and it's just very, very fortunate.
Well, think about, I mean, it's like the Colts will have two quarterbacks over a span of like 25 or 30 years.
The Packers the same way with Favre and Rodgers. It's like,
oh my God.
Like, come on. There are teams that suffer forever without a quarterback.
Yeah, I know. It's, my answer to that question is that I don't engage or watch or track any other sport except for the NFL. So I don't enjoy any other sports.
Interesting. Next one is at Mark Quesnell 1. He says Miller or Gurley.
Ugh.
To me, it's Gurley. And the only reason for that is, okay, Houston's offense is going to be a little bit better than LA's, right? A little bit. It's not like we're talking like top half offense even. Gurley's going to out attempt Lamar Miller if they're both healthy, IMO, by like 80 rushes. Yeah. Gurley's going to see so much volume that to me it's pretty obvious. Like I'm avoiding both, but I'm avoiding Lamar Miller more than I'm avoiding Todd Gurley, because I think Deontay Foreman, I know that he just had some legal stuff that came down, but I think Deontay Foreman could steal more touches than what people assume, because we know that Lamar Miller is a better back, or he's shown to be a better back, with maybe 200 touches instead of 270 touches. And Bill O'Brien said just as much this offseason.
My answer to Gurley or Miller would be neither.
Ty Montgomery.
Try Hilton, try Baldwin. Those are mine.
Straight up, would you draft, if you had to pick one of the three, Miller, Gurley, or Ty Montgomery?
For the same price?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tough. Not Gurley. I can't.
Interesting.
I can't Gurley.
I think I would go, if it's a PPR league especially, I think that I would legitimately put Lamar Miller below Ty Montgomery.
You would?
Yeah. But I think I'd put Gurley first. That's my hot take of the day.
Wow, that's maybe mine is high. I don't know. Now I feel all.
No, I mean, I'm talking about a fourth round pick compared to an early third. Do you know that I'm writing an article right now, but do you know that Ty Montgomery in nine games where he had 40% or more of the team snaps averaged 15 points per game in PPR, which was RB6 numbers last year? That was DeMarco Murray last year.
Well, he was sort of, I mean, all those dump offs, you know, with all that passing, even with positive game script they were passing, that stuff was fantastic. If you got him off the waiver wire in a PPR league, that was just money.
Yeah. This next one is from at Bad Glove Hand. Have you guys seen I'm Sorry with your boy Tom Everett Scott yet? It's hilarious and makes life almost bearable.
Jeez. I'm so sorry.
I haven't seen it yet.
I watched the first two episodes, and I can report back to LTS Nation that it is funny as hell. I promise you, I'm not just saying that because Tom is our guy. I'm saying that because there were three scenes in the opening episode that made me like shock laugh, you know, like you weren't expecting to laugh so hard. So, but then I was just like shotgunning laughs, like, oh my God, what just happened?
Yeah.
And Tom plays the perfect, like very, very like dry, sense of humor husband to a very high strung, woman who's the main character. And she's very funny. I highly recommend the show.
Nice. This next one is at Ben_Swabowski. He says, what's your sleepwear game? Scale from naked to fully covered, matching top and bottoms.
Okay, you go first.
Boxers and usually a T.
Okay.
Your turn, Benny.
Yeah, so no matter what the temperature is outside, I'm wearing a Miller Lite t-shirt. Okay, so I have four of them.
Okay, I was gonna say you wear the same freaking t-shirt to bed. Night sweats?
I have four Miller Lite t-shirts that were sent to me by Miller Lite because they like me so much.
Oh, right.
And boxer briefs. That's it.
Yeah, so we're similar.
That's the list. I want to say real quick, backtracking to Tom's show, the star of the show is Andrea Savage.
Yeah,
Andrea Savage, very, very funny. Anyway, yeah, so that's what I sleep in no matter what.
Next one is at Frisconsin. Would you guys consider having two members of the Living the Stream family podcast live coverage of the LTS draft this year instead of foregoing it entirely? Here's my take, okay? Maybe the contest this year, not contest, but maybe if someone can do audio editing and produce something really awesome and you're listening to the show right now and you want to host Living the Stream, and I mean have me, Denny, and Tom on the show, and you narrate, you walk through it, and you edit it, and you do everything for the show. I am 100% down for an episode like that.
Yeah, sure. It's just running the show was so stressful. When you handed it off to me for like 30 seconds, I thought I was going to die. I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. I have to keep the show going. I have to keep talking. I have to keep looking at my queued up players. You know, my screen is freezing up. You know, there are people being like, it's my turn. Oh my God, that was so stressful.
I think it would be kind of awesome if someone that has, you know, I'm not even saying you have like massive experience or anything, but if you like have a podcast or you do podcasts, you've done shows or something, or if you even haven't, but you have samples of you editing stuff and making it sound great, and you want to interview Tom, Denny, and I, and me while we're doing the draft, I'm totally for it. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Plus, I can just sit back and I will just drink beer while we do the draft then, instead of having to worry about what's going on with bringing. Why did we ever do that last year?
I don't know. I think we wanted it to be a big deal, and I think it was, but it was too big of a deal, and it took years off your life. I mean, you were in the hospital for 4 days after that.
Right. Oh, it was awful. It's dehydrated. It's a terrible thing. Next one is from Too Much Tuma, but it was about fidget spinners, so we're going to skip that because we already answered all of it. Next one's from Knuckle Pop. He says, what are your individual thoughts on the bow tie? Is it everyday formal wear or an oddly shaped towel for baby feces? I wear ties. I don't know how to tie a bow tie either.
Oh yeah, who the hell knows how? I'd be borderline scared of someone who knew how to tie a bow tie.
By the way, Matt Harmon. No, I'm just kidding.
Matt Harmon came to your house wearing 11 bow ties, yeah. And nothing else. No, I can barely tie a tie, so it just boggles my mind.
Yeah, I'm okay. People can rock them. That's fine. I'm fine if people want to rock them, but they also are way, way too into to fashion to know how to tie one of those things.
Right, and also, but I mean, you're setting yourself up to get punched, right? If you're just wearing a bow tie all the time.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's some occasions, like, you know, there's a guy in The Bachelorette that wore one last night, and he looked dapper, but it wasn't like okay, here it is. It's the people who wear bow ties and it's their thing. When wearing their bow tie is their thing, that's when it's messed up.
Yes, I agree.
Okay. Next one is at @Dave_Esterman. I challenge my arch nemesis to a loser leaves town match. 13 weeks total points. Loser is out of the league. How would you adjust strategy?
Wow. Well, you have to go all in. I mean, you have to build a very high variance roster.
Yeah, but isn't it just a? I'm assuming it's just head to head, though.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you meant the okay. No, head to head, then that would be opposite, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be the opposite. But but I'm also thinking ahead here, or it's not ahead. I'm thinking in like more detail here. What if you just completely troll the other team? Like, you're watching his draft, you're seeing how they're drafting, and you see that they're waiting on quarterback, tight end, or something like that. Maybe that's a terrible example because we would still not draft quarterback, right, tight end. But there might be ways for just pay attention to what your dude is doing because there's potential for you to mess with his draft a lot. Mm-hmm. That's what I would say. Mm-hmm. Like if you see him going wide receiver heavy and he's at the turn or something like that, like get as many running backs as you can so that he doesn't have them.
Mm-hmm. And make sure he drinks like a ton of whiskey before the draft.
Yeah, that's important. This next one's @WankyUL. I feel like one of the key talking points for this season is Tyreek Hill. Do you guys believe in him to be a true wide receiver one, or will he bust?
I mean, I've written a little bit about that for the Fake Football. I forget exactly what I wrote, but I'm not drafting him at his current ADP.
Yeah, I'm not drafting him at his current ADP either. But I could see the upside. You know, I think that he's going to get a pretty decent market share. He comes out looking decent in projections too. I don't fully mind him, but I'm going to give you a pretty vanilla take and say that, you know, I'm not like going after him and thinking that he's going to be, I don't think he's going to be like a top 10 wide receiver this year. I don't think that's going to happen.
I struggle to see where he's going to get wide receiver one targets. He's going to lead the Chiefs wide receivers in targets probably, but I'm not excited to get, you know, Alex Smith's and Andy Reid's wide receiver one by default.
Right.
He's going at 408 right now. I mean, he's going right before Martavis, and I'm taking Martavis, not just because I'm a truther.
This next question, Denny, is from at Jacob Henry FF. If you could switch up the other's hairstyle, what would you recommend?
I would just put my hair on JJ.
Yeah, honestly. I would just put mine on Denny's. So I think that someone needs to do a little bit of Photoshop work here.
Do it. Get on it, guys.
That'd be fantastic. This last question. Oh, no, there's a couple more. One of them is from Crimson 687. Who won the Stanley Cup? Do you know who won the Stanley Cup, Denny? That's what he asked.
I do have sources on the ground in Pittsburgh who are reporting that the Penguins may have won. Now, I haven't confirmed, they did. But that's what I've heard.
They did. I'm sorry that I'm obnoxious on Twitter about that, but that's not stopping.
No, I enjoy your I guess we'll call it a heel turn here, where you're intentionally being a huge asshole about it, which is good.
Yeah, you and Tom Whalen, who's actually the next guy who asked this question, always talk about the heel turn when I tweet that stuff. I find it hilarious. But Tom actually, he asked, does Denny's mom's basement have its own bathroom, or does Denny have to fight with mom for sink time so that he can do his hair?
I mean, we have to coordinate. Any fantasy football writer, you know, worth his salt, has to coordinate with mom about when he can come upstairs and use the bathroom and use the blow dryer. I mean, this is just something that you have to deal with as a fantasy football professional. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I feel you. This last question is from @CR_football. Should league size drive draft strategy, or do you draft the same way for 10 and 12 team leagues?
I have 10 and 12 is
yeah, 10 and 12 is not really a difference, but I will say that in shallower leagues, I'm fine with going like if you're in an 8 team league or a 6 team league or something like that. Look, there are 6 team leagues because like families play fantasy football together. But if you're in a league like that, I'm actually all for getting like Aaron Rodgers early, because you are getting an edge at the quarterback position by owning that player. It's not like we draft quarterbacks late and stream because we think that the elite quarterbacks don't give you any sort of edge. It's just that the edge they give you in a normal league isn't nearly as great as what you can get from a running back or a wide receiver. But in those leagues, there are many, many wide receivers and running backs that will be available to you that you can draft even in the middle and late rounds. So therefore, I'm fine with going early with tight end and quarterback.
Yes, agreed.
All right, Denny, that does it for this week's show. Why don't you let everyone know where they can find you? I think that you have something else to share as well.
Yeah, one last sponsorship here for today's episode. This one comes from our good friends at 2QBs.com. That's TWOQBS.com.
Can you tell me what letter B's is?
QBs.com. it goes something like this. Do you play in challenging fantasy leagues that require you to start more than one quarterback and always wished for a draft guide tailored for these leagues, two quarterback and super flex leagues? Well, you are in luck, dear LTS listener, as the fine folks at 2QBs.com have published a draft guide dedicated solely to 2QB and super flex fantasy football leagues. It's 170 pages. It's true. I checked it out. I got my copy.
Me too.
Very, very good stuff. Yeah. 170 pages. It features two QB draft strategy articles, rankings, and auction value cheat sheets, an interview with someone by the name of JJ Zacharyson. Not sure who that is. And then a QB equity scores article from C.D. Carter.
Another douchebag.
He's literally a horrible person, but I did read that article is good, along with 54 of the most in-depth fantasy quarterback capsules that include rankings, projections, scouting reports, and fantasy outlook blurbs. This is, I'm telling you guys, it really is great. It has a lot of stuff. Purchase your copy today by going to 2QBs.com. LTS listeners can use the coupon code LTS and save 10%. Off the cost of the draft guide, and most importantly, $1 from each copy will be donated to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, which I think we can all get behind.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm like dying right now at the idea of someone writing a review of your article. This just made me laugh. I'm JJ Zacharyson. You can find me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. Just published a new podcast today with our boy Rich Rebar on data that matters, data that's not meaningless but meaningful, and we go through different data points and statistics that are and aren't important from a fantasy football standpoint. So hopefully you guys have time to check that out. Otherwise, all my stuff's over at numberfire.com. I will be posting an article this week on the most undervalued fantasy football players in fantasy football.
That's well said. By the way, you all have to listen to the JJ and Rich interview, which is excellent on every level, including the end where Rich actually does the air horn sound, which it's uncanny. It is unbelievable. It was so good. I fell out of my chair. I was unconscious for 11 minutes after
it was so good sound. Dude, when he did it, I just started dying. Like I couldn't contain myself. But yeah,
if for no other reason, you have to listen.
Yes, absolutely. And thank you all for listening to this show. We are back weekly, so we will catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to Living the Stream. We hope you enjoyed the internet podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes now. It won't take long, it's fast. For more fantasy football info, check out LateRoundQB.